Okay, let's start with a big one. If every observation you make actually shapes reality, what part of your world, maybe your job, your relationships, even the challenges you face, what part only exists because you're, well, looking at it that way, defining it?
That really is the question, isn't it? It kind
Shh.
of forces us past this old idea that the universe is just solid, objective, existing completely separate from our minds.
Right, totally independent.
Yeah. And today, we kind of have to face the possibility that awareness isn't just a passive receiver. It might be an active, creative force.
Absolutely. So that's our mission today, to really dive deep into this observer effect. We want to move beyond just metaphysics, you know.
And get into the physics of it, the
Yeah.
physics of conscious creation.
Exactly. We've got some source material that connects those classic quantum experiments, like the double slit one everyone hears about.
The
We want
gamma
to
one?
connect that to these bigger philosophical models of consciousness. We're trying to build a sort of structured map to understand how awareness doesn't just see reality, it helps build it.
And the Science Foundation is key here, because that's where this whole idea of a fixed reality first started to, well, wobble a bit.
With the observer effect.
Precisely. The phenomenon suggests that existence, at its most basic level, is deeply influenced just by the act of witnessing.
We know the basics. Quantum particles acting like waves, infinite potential superposition until you measure them.
Right. But for this deep dive, the really crucial part isn't just the wave particle thing itself, it's the implication we need to focus on.
Okay, which is.
It's that information seems to be the catalyst. The moment a detector, and this could even be a non-conscious instrument, tries to measure the particle's path.
The wave collapses.
Instantly, the wave of possibility collapses into one single definite particle state. It suggests the universe at this level isn't quite settled until information is actively gathered.
So the act of measuring forces potential into actual, it means reality needs participation.
That's the word. And that's what people like John Roederer were getting at, saying quantum systems follow a don't ask, don't tell policy. Getting information fundamentally changes the outcome.
But hang on, the standard science view says it's the instrument, right? Not a conscious mind.
Correct. Scientific orthodoxy attributes the collapse to the interaction with the measuring device. But the philosophical implication, the one our sources really lean into, is huge.
Which is.
If even a non-conscious detector can force potential into form just by gathering info, what happens with a fully conscious observer? One with emotions, thoughts, beliefs? What's the impact then? That's the bridge we need to explore.
That feels like a massive leap, though, from tiny particles to, well, us, our minds. How do we connect quantum weirdness to the reality inside our heads?
Through information processing, think about it. If reality is fundamentally information that needs something to collapse it, to stabilize it,
Then the human brain.
is the most sophisticated information processor we know. The mind isn't just a mirror reflecting what's out there, it's intensely active, a top-down interpretive machine.
Okay, so this brings us into neuroscience. And the proof there is neuroplasticity.
Exactly. Neuroplasticity. The sources argue that your inner story, your narrative, doesn't just float around as thoughts. It physically shapes the hardware,
The brain
the
itself.
very brain processing external reality. What's really key here is that subjective experience, your feelings, your beliefs, how you react emotionally, physically, determines the brain's structure and function.
So stress isn't just in your head.
Not at all. We're moving way beyond
Can
that.
you give a concrete example? How does my subjective state actually change my brain?
Okay, think about chronic stress. Not necessarily caused by an objective huge event, but your interpretation, your inner state of stress.
Right.
High levels of that subjective stress lead to measurable physical changes, things like dendritic remodeling in the prefrontal cortex, or structural changes in the circuits that handle emotion and thinking.
Wow.
So your internal state, how you interpret things, literally shapes the lens you see reality through. The body becomes this sort of physical meeting point where perception gets real.
That's more than metaphor, then. It feels like the biological proof is lining up right next to the quantum proof.
It suggests that, yes, the inner state isn't just mental stuff, it's a critical factor in how awareness shapes reality, physically.
So if we scale this back up from the brain to the bigger picture.
We get to that conceptual leap, the one that led scientists like Niels Bohr and especially John Archibald Wheeler to talk about a participatory universe.
The idea that reality needs us, needs consciousness to fully show up.
To emerge, yes. And the sources provide a framework to map this flow from infinite potential to the limited reality we experience. They called it the fractal trinity model.
Okay, fractal trinity. Before we get into the pillars, what does fractal mean here? Why that word?
Good question. Crucial, actually. Fractal means the pattern is self-similar across different scales.
Like a coastline or a fern leaf.
Exactly. The same basic mechanism we see in the tiny observer effect in the lab. It's mirrored, scaled up, in the way consciousness interacts with potential to create reality itself. It's a repeating pattern.
Got it. Okay, so pillar one of this fractal model.
Pillar one, spirit or source. This is the origin point, the field of infinite potential, pure awareness, stillness, like the wave function before anyone looks.
Undivided potential. Then pillar two.
Pillar two, consciousness, the observer. This is the active part, the lens. The sources call it the architect dreaming this world into being.
So this is the collapse mechanism.
It acts as the active collapse mechanism, yeah.
Yeah.
It translates that infinite potential from the source into defined specific experience. It mirrors the quantum observer effect, but on a cosmic scale.
Okay, which leads to pillar three.
Pillar three, space-time or the playground. This is the reality that shows up. The manifested world, the three-dimensional arena we live in.
And the sources call this the hologram of existence. What do they mean by hologram? Like, it's not real.
Not quite, not real, but more like a structured responsive projection. Think of a hologram.
Yeah.
A 3D image encoded on a 2D surface. In this model, space-time is the physical reality that emerges from the energetic information that consciousness has collapsed or focused. It's a specific, limited projection, maybe designed for experience, for self-discovery.
So the collapse of the wave function creating reality is just pillar two doing its job to create pillar three.
That's the idea. Consciousness acting on spirit to generate space-time.
All right. If consciousness is the active ingredient here, we need to understand how it works. What's the operating system?
This brings us to the core mechanism, the law of reflection, sometimes called the mirror principle.
The mirror principle.
It basically states that your outer world acts like a canvas. Or a mirror reflecting your inner state, your vibration, your patterns, your emotional tone.
Okay, that sounds incredibly powerful. But I have to ask, where do the sources draw the line? Is reality actually changing physically based on me? Or is it just my brain filtering things differently because I feel a certain way?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Oh. And the sources suggest it's actually both. Yes. The subjective filtering is definitely happening. If you're full of fear, your brain will absolutely highlight potential threats in your environment. That's basic neuroscience.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the deeper claim here is that your underlying energetic resonance, often driven by subconscious beliefs you might not even be aware of, that resonance actively pulls or attracts external events and circumstances into your life that match those beliefs. The subconscious acts like this powerful magnetic lens.
Pulling experiences out of the field of potential.
Pulling the ones that match its frequency into your manifested reality. Collapsing them into your experience.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to take in. If the lens is that powerful, how on earth do you change the filter? How do you change what you're attracting?
Well, the key insight here is that the power source isn't brute force. It's not about gritting your teeth and willing things to change.
No.
It's coherence. That's the functional insight. Creation, manifestation, whatever you want to call it, is powered by a stable resonance, not effort.
Coherence, meaning alignment.
Alignment, exactly. Heart, mind, soul, all lined up, generating a single, clear, stable frequency. That's what the universe or the field seems to respond to most clearly.
So instead of mentally wrestling with reality,
you focus on cultivating that inner state, that clear, stable frequency. The environment then just responds. More natural.
And how do you cultivate that?
Through presence. Full awareness anchored right here, right now, in the present moment.
Not lost in the past or worrying about the future.
Exactly. Presence is described as highly magnetic. It's the ultimate interface. When you're truly present, your mind isn't scattered, broadcasting a messy signal. The field gets a clear reflection. Synchronicities tend to line up more often.
This whole idea shifts responsibility quite dramatically, doesn't it? If our thoughts aren't just private things in our heads.
But they transmit. Radiate into the field.
Yeah, then that scales up too, right? To the collective.
Absolutely. The law of reflection works on a global scale too. Mm-hmm. Think about collective fears. Amplify them through media loops.
And you get a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Pretty much. You code the shared reality, the sacred illusion, as the sources call it, with negativity. And it manifests. Systemic problems, conflict.
Geopolitical fractures.
Right. The external world becomes this giant mirror reflecting humanity's collective inner state. Reflecting, perhaps, our collective need for an awakening. That's why one source uses that powerful metaphor about Mount Kailash.
What was that?
That it's the projection of our own awakening, the outer landscape reflecting the inner potential.
Okay. So realizing we're active participants.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrifying, but also empowering, yeah. A superpower.
Both. An existential burden and a superpower. If our thoughts and inner states radiate outwards, the main task becomes conscious stewardship of that inner environment.
Observer responsibility.
That's the term. Taking responsibility for the signal you're broadcasting.
So how do we actually do that? How do we move from theory to practice, embodiment?
It really starts with stillness, quieting the noise. We have to learn to turn down the volume on the constant conditioned thought loops, the mental chatter that's always broadcasting chaos.
So things like mindfulness, meditation, they're not just for relaxing.
They're cognitive technologies, genuine tools.
Okay. Technologies for what?
For allowing the observer, you, to settle into the space between thoughts. That's the origin point, the place of clarity, of coherence. By quieting the mind, you stabilize your frequency.
Making the field around you less chaotic, more responsive.
Exactly. And once you have some baseline stability, the sources point to imagination as the next powerful tool.
They call it the engine of reality.
Right, which suggests visualization is way more than just daydreaming.
How so?
It's framed as actively creating a memory, but from the future.
A memory from the future. Explain that.
Because the brain is plastic, it's always changing based on experience. Visualization, done with focus and feeling, is a way to consciously give your brain a new experience.
You're encoding a desired reality, or a better version of yourself.
Precisely. A wiser self-concept, as one source puts it. You're encoding it directly into your neural pathways now.
So instead of old patterns from the past automatically running the show,
you intentionally create new neural patterns through focused imagination and emotion. You're basically writing the code for the future you want to experience, shaping the probabilities.
Guiding the collapse consciously.
Using your mind to scribe a new inner narrative. Choosing which possibilities from that infinite field get pulled into your playground, into FaceTime. And the ethical weight of this, it's profound.
How so?
The sources argue that our collective survival might actually depend on this, on a renaissance of responsibility, unity, and presence.
So the focus shifts. It's less about controlling the outside world.
And much more about managing your internal frequency, the energy you contribute to the collective field.
That internal evolution, embodying coherence, that's the path.
It seems to be the only sustainable way forward. The ultimate expression of a conscious creator isn't bending the external world to your will, but mastering the quality of your own contribution.
Wow. Okay, so we've journeyed from the weirdness of subatomic particles all the way to how our own minds shape our brains and potentially our reality. It points to this core unity, doesn't it?
A fundamental responsiveness in the universe. It's not static.
And the ultimate quantum observation, the core truth the sources keep circling back to.
The observer and the observed are one.
Reality doesn't happen to us.
It happens through us.
Which leaves us, the listeners, you, with a pretty direct challenge.
Indeed. The challenge of navigating this unfolding fractal reality. If your current external struggles, the difficulties you face, are maybe just reflections. Reflections of what's still unloved or unacknowledged or unspoken inside you.
Then the question is,
what specific internal shift, however small, must you commit to making today to change the mirror you look into tomorrow?